Brian's probably wondering what I'm going to say today. You know, obviously marriage has been in the news lately. And you're going to be very pleased to know that I'm really going to actually talk about it only peripherally today. Because I just can tell you, I believe in the bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that's all there is to it. So I'm not going to go down the other path. All right? I'm not going to list for you what God has said and what I believe, but you can take it from there. I think it's an interesting coincidence or God incidence that we had a wedding here yesterday. We hadn't had one here in a while. In fact, it was the first one since we've been in this building, and it was really fun to have two of the members of our church get married here in this place. And to have these scriptures today. Now, I don't think Bill or Jan is smart enough to plan their wedding around these scriptures. You know, I don't think that people, you know, read in advance to find out what they're going to be, and I'll plan a whole wedding around this. But it's really kind of cool, and I just think it's neat the way God does weave these wonderful things together. What I want to talk about is family. You know, the family is at the heart of God's plan for us. And, you know, we can talk about the unit of the married couple. We can talk about when we have children. We can talk about extended families, all of which are family and all of which are very important in the heart of God. And it's very interesting that when families are broken up, people become a little bit disconcerted, disconnected, and sometimes adrift, because they always feel like, you know, the foundation isn't there anymore. Things aren't right. You know, that's with my soul. You know, it's at that level. That happens when the family is broken up. Every Wednesday when we're here at our healing service, we pray specifically for families that have a brokenness within them. When people ask us, they say, you know, please pray that God will heal this, because it is so deep. And it's such a wound that troubles all other things, because it just doesn't feel like anything is right. And it's very important. We live in a time, by the way, where people talked about the whole world is overpopulated. And, you know, there are too many people. And yet, loneliness is a major problem in many people's lives. It's very interesting. It has nothing to do with how many people are around. You know, people can be lonely to the point where, you know, they have to fill the void. I remember, you know, I've always been one of those persons that was I'm happier when I'm around people, you know. And so way back when, you know, Carol and I have been married now for 40 years, and, you know, so I actually can remember back then, but I remember walking into the house and always turning on some noise. You know, it was almost a way that I felt like I was not alone. And it's a funny thing, you know, that some people just can't stand silence. I remember we had the first quiet day. You know, for me, that was a grand adventure, you know. A time of how long? You know, it was, you know, when we have these times, you know, on Good Friday, and, you know, we read a meditation, and then we have a time of silence, and it's only a couple of minutes, you know, and you watch people start squirming after about 30 seconds. You know, they're thinking, is he ever coming back again? Is it going to continue ever? You know, we have a society that's filled with noise, and much of it is just dissonance. There's not any beauty to it. It isn't music. It is absolutely disturbing to our souls. And when I was way back when I studied psychology, yeah, that was way back there too. We had a teaching that I've never forgotten, which is amazing, because I forgot a lot of things that from back there. It had to do with grief. And it was an interesting study that they did, and they were trying to find out what was the difference between how people grieved from different circumstances that happened in their life. How they grieved, for instance, that of the death of somebody that was in their immediate family. You know, how they grieved if there had been somebody that broke into their home and stole precious things that were part of their life and their heritage. How people dealt with, the fact of a family member moving way away from the family and the grief that caused to them. And even the fact of people that were raised in a town, like a Fallbrook, a fairly small town where a lot of people went to school together and knew each other all their lives, and then moved away. And the interesting thing about it was they wanted to find out the difference in the kind of grief that people went through. And so they had people that went through each of those circumstances write down what things they were experiencing in their grief. Now, here's going to be the shocker for you, I think, as it was for me. There were no differences. The grief was the same. The length and intensity maybe was different, but the grief was the same. And then when you think about our highly mobile society, and you think about the situation we live in today, and, you know, of all the things that happen in lives and stuff, we probably could say that we have a society in grief, you know, and that, you know, that this brings the role of the church, you know, up to a much important, most people, if you don't know that, you might not realize how important it is for people to have the wonderful comfort and strength of the family of the body of Christ. And this is another area, you know, for people, because people are grieving and they don't even know it. And they need comfort for their souls. And then it has to do with extended families. It used to be that, you know, if you were in a town in Delphus, Ohio, where I was born, my dad was the youngest of 12 kids, you know. And he had seven, and he had the second smallest family in their family, right? Of the 12, 10 of them have kids, and he had the second smallest family with seven kids. So you can imagine what an extended family was there. By the way, you had to be really careful criticizing anybody in that town, because they were probably related. You know, somewhere along the line, they were probably related. But what happens now is that because of the way we live, many of our children have never lived in the same community as their grandparents or many of their aunts and uncles. They've never had that extended family relationship, which most people might think it's not all good news, extended families, you know. Sometimes you don't even like a lot of your family, but what happens is there's some kind of a deep comfort that comes from knowing somebody's there and their family. If the world attacks you, the family, by the way, is all facing in the same direction. When the attack goes away, you might be at each other's throats. You know, you've seen some of that. But there's something about having the family around. We happen to be one of those families that was on the move, you know, as our children were growing. You know, not only did I go off to seminary, you know, and then that was in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, and then we ended up in Stockton, and then after Stockton, you know, after that, you're not even sure you care. Anyway, and then we went all the way up to Coalinga, and that was, I forgot about Pine Mountain Lake and all that kind of time. We were all over the place. But in every one of those places, we had the church. The church family met soul needs in our children. You know, there's always a grandpa type. In fact, there's a lot of them in some of our churches, you know. And there's always the uncle kind, you know. And there's always somebody that cared. And somebody that was always there, you know, looking out for the well-being of your children. And many of you, you know, have gone through similar things. And you understand what I'm talking about is, but there was always this peace that passes understanding, knowing that you had this extended family. We've always said, we have a church, you know, we're for those that are, say it out loud now for everybody.
Offering hope and a home for families.
Those in needs of families. Now, the disturbing part about it is only Father Brian knew how to start that. Because the rest of you were fading out now. And I've gone on too long, I can tell, you know. Every church that is fulfilling its role as a church should have that included in their statement as to why they're there. For those that are in need of a family. Because, you know, the families are so broken. We have single family homes. The amount is incredible, you know, in our life. And some of them are intentional. I used to be a social worker for a while, and we had a situation in Tampa, Florida when I was there, and we had men that were fathering children to multiple women so that they could steal their welfare checks. And they came around once a month and stole the welfare checks from multiple families, and that was taking place. You can imagine the hunger, the need for love and support and blessing that the kids that are raised in that situation must have. God desires that we have family. It's at the heartbeat of what God's plan is for us as people. And we need to have family need met, I think, in multiple levels. We need it in our homes. We need to be very concerned with the love in our home, in our families. But we also need to understand that we need to have the extended family that God planned for us to have. And that's one of the things that the church provides. So I believe that the church is vital to every family. Now, if you don't have enough reasons to follow the Great Commission, to go out into the world, you know, and make disciples of all nations, that's what we're called to do, this is one more reason, one more critical reason. Don't ever believe that people are as good off as they pretend. I love to tell this story. When we were in Merced, we had a family down at the end of the block. We called them Barbie and Kim. They were beautiful people. They really were. The guy was so handsome, and he drove a perfect little sports car, and you know, all these kind of things, and she was just gorgeous and everything. And everybody was so sure that they were living the American dream. Until we found out when their marriage ran apart that they had absolutely been miserable the whole time. People, my dad used to have this phrase, he said, not all the great actors and actresses are in Hollywood. Many of them are your next door neighbors. Don't ever believe that there's anybody that you know that doesn't need Jesus and doesn't need salvation and doesn't need family. Let's pray. Lord our God, we just thank you and praise you for the precious gift that you give us in the church family and the way that it meets such a deep need in our hearts. We just pray, Lord God, that you give us eyes to see that people that are around us that appear to be doing so well and have no problems, that you would help us to understand that many of them are just pretending. They're really desperately in need of love and their need of the family, in Jesus' name. Amen.